Good morning. Good to have you along with us. Today's program originally set to air February 16th and 17th, year of our Lord 2025. I do want to thank you once again for tuning in and listening to our program this Sunday or Monday morning. We're in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 1. This is just after the baptism of Jesus. We have talked about in chapter 3, we talked about John the Baptist, we talked about the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and we traced the genealogy of Jesus all the way back to Adam. And Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, is there to fulfill what God has sent him to do, or at least the beginning of his teaching, headed toward the cross. It says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan," this was after the baptism, "and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Now, in today's world, personally, I take bread for granted. I mean, I just, you know, when I get hungry, I just don't think, boy, I'm going to go eat a piece of bread. And that's probably the case with many people that live in the United States and other places in the world. However, many of the things that we eat are contained inside bread. Hamburgers, hot dogs, pizzas are on a crust that is bread-like. Even a taco or anything like that is wrapped in something that could be considered, and I said could be considered, a type of bread. Breading, this type of thing. But in ancient times, bread was much more of a staple food. The milling process, and I've read that actually these milling processes have always existed, but it was really in the 1800s and 1900s that we got to the point we could knock enough of the husk off that the bread wasn't as healthy for us as it used to be. And so now we add vitamins back to it. And one of the things, and this is maybe a little bit off, but in 1917, there was a fellow by the name of Otto, and I'm going to pronounce his name Rowiter. He developed an electric bread slicing machine. And did you know that people thought it was a bad idea? Well, I mean, they said, there's no use for this thing. And now let's go to the grocery store and buy a loaf of bread. And probably well in excess of 90% of those loaves are sliced. And the truth of the matter is, I don't want one that's not. Never had a knife that do a good job slicing bread as good a job as I can just buy it already done, right? It's the way we like it. But you know what? It hadn't been 40 days since I had something to eat. And so if I'm sitting here and I hadn't eaten 40 days, any old morsel of bread is going to sound pretty good. Jesus said, No, you won't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And that is a key to this entire passage. Because every time Jesus is tempted, he answers with the Scripture. And the only way you can know the Scripture is to be into the Scripture. And guys, I say what I'm about to say without apology, and I'm telling you this because I believe it. I've seen it in my own life. When you read the Bible, it'll make a difference. And I'm not telling you that you're going to make more money, have a faster car, a bigger house. I'm telling you, it'll change your life. It did mine. I've never known anybody that seriously read the Scripture that it didn't begin to make a difference. Now, admittedly, maybe not everybody stays with it. I'll go there. I've got to admit that. But friends, I'm telling you, the Bible made more of a difference in my life than anything else. And just simply reading it, being forced to read it for myself and then continuing on my own, I just began to realize I had to make some changes. So again, when tempted with bread, Jesus said, "It is written that a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now we take it for granted that the devil is telling him the truth, that he had the ability to grant these things. I have to point out to you that the other conversation that comes to my mind is back in the book of Genesis, and Satan lied to Eve. He said, "Thou shalt not surely die." And granted, she didn't die that day, at least not physically, but she would. The death sentence was passed as soon as she took the fruit from the tree. As soon as Adam had eaten the fruit, at any rate. And so we assume that Satan is telling Jesus the truth here, but I don't know whether or not he is. And I'll go one step further. I don't want to know. What I want to know is how to please God and how to serve him. I don't want to know if you can make a deal with the devil and have all these things, because the best that you can hope for in this life is what? And the, most of you listening today don't have another 70 or 80 years. You've got whatever the rest of your life is, and we don't know what that is, and then eternity begins. And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And so Jesus, very wisely here again, answers once again with the scripture, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And he brought him to Jerusalem. Satan brought Jesus to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, up on top of it, and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God." So he comes back to this thing. If you are the Son of God. He did that in the first temptation, didn't in the second one. "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence," and watch what the devil does. "For it is written," so he uses scripture too, "He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." You flip on over to James, and what do you find? That the devils, the demons, believe in God and tremble. They know the word of God. They know the end of this thing. They can't help but. Satan knows the word, and he can use it against us, especially if we don't know it as well as we should. And Jesus answering said unto him, "It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And so what we see here, of course, Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus knows the Word of God because he is the Word of God. He is the living Word of God. And so he can skillfully use the Word to overcome any temptation. I'm not Jesus. You're not Jesus. We are jars of clay. We make mistakes. Sometimes we're the one that misapplies the scripture. Sometimes we're the one that tempts God. I've always been able to remember this scripture because, you know, you have the snake handlers out in eastern Tennessee and places like that. And I'm thinking, boy, they hadn't read the Bible. You don't tempt God. I mean, this is Old and New Testament, folks. You don't pick up a rattlesnake. That's crazy. Jesus says you don't tempt God. You don't walk out from a bus and say, "Well, God, if you're real, I won't die." You don't make a bet and say, well, God, if you're real, I'll win all this, whatever the case is. You know, that's not right. That's just simply wrong in the sight of God. 13. Luke is the only one of the gospel writers that includes part of this. It says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him. And these next three words, Luke is the only one that says them for a season. And what does this tell us? That he'll be back. Satan left Jesus for a while, but he didn't leave Jesus for good. He was going to come back, and he was going to nag at him, and he was going to tempt at him. And you know, a few years ago, there was a movie that came out called The Passion of Christ. Mel Gibson was a big part of it, the producer and this type of thing. And you know, I didn't see it, but I had people say, well, you know, I saw this in the movie and that in the movie, and I couldn't remember if it was in the Bible. And I said, well, you know, one of the things that I came back to is this verse right here. You know, and I'm not saying they were right or wrong for including some of those scenes, but we don't know what Jesus saw. We don't know what Jesus endured. There's many things that the Bible does not tell us, but let me say this, if I don't say anything else, it tells us enough. Tells us that Jesus was tempted. That after Jesus was baptized, the devil worked on him. I remember when I was saved years ago, and actually I think it was before my baptism, that my father told me, he said, son, the devil's going to be working on you. And I didn't really know for sure what he meant, but I've seen that over the years. So many times when somebody comes to Christ, when somebody decides to rededicate their life, or you know, turn, you know, they were saved, but they say, you know what, I got to get back into this thing. And I've had more than one person say, you know what, things were easier before I was trying. And that may not be exactly what they say. They say, you know, things were going pretty good before I started trying to do right. Well, guys, it's because the devil doesn't want to lose you. It's because he wants you to get discouraged. He wants you in an easy place. And here again, not to just quote from movies, but I saw in a movie one time, and it was about God and about people who were following him and weren't following him. And this one guy, I believe it was his mother he was talking to, and he wasn't a believer. And she was, but she was having all kinds of trouble. She even had dementia. And so this is a fictional deal, but he said, look at you. You're a believer, and look at all the trouble you're having. And look at me. I don't believe, and things are going good. And she looked at him and said, you're in the trap. Why would Satan want to scare you away? One of these days, the jaws will close, and you'll be there. And there'll be nothing you can do about it. He doesn't want to run you away when he's got you where he wants you. Satan was trying to get Jesus where he wanted him, but he couldn't, because Jesus was the Word, because Jesus was the Son. And I tell you, my friends, today, Jesus is the one that can deliver you ultimately from Satan, that can deliver you ultimately from death, and give you eternal life. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. Thank you so much for tuning in, listening this morning. Lord willing, we'll be back next week. God bless you, God bless America, and God bless Israel today as well.